Hello, friends. I'm Daniel Green, and you are listening to a Tuesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Mike Catrone to look at news and box scores. Mike, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, good, Daniel. It's our first podcast together.
I mean, it's very exciting. And it's the first time we've ever actually spoken to each other as well.
Yeah, surprisingly, even though people listen to this and they're like, oh, these are just the regular guests.
Right.
Yeah. You're kind of like the daily guy. The season long is kind of what I focus on. So there'll be some overlap. That's the thing people don't realize, I think, is like they're very separate. Like they're very, very different types of things. But there is a distinct overlap. And that's when like people who stream and head to head and daily, that's basically the same analysis.
Yeah. I mean, there's really not, obviously DFS has prices and salaries and things like that. But I mean, there's so much commonalities between the two. So they really do go hand in hand.
You got to know who's good. You got to know who's bad.
That is true. That's very, very true. So we had a monster slate tonight, 11 games on Monday night. So hopefully, and I think there's only the Golden State is still going on by time. Me and you are taping this show in the wee hours of the night, of the dedication we have.
And the first day of winter in Chicago.
Exactly. As Mark is off doing Mark is taking the day off. But don't worry, Mark will be back tomorrow. Hopefully, you can still listen to me and Mike tonight, and hopefully it will be a good podcast, and we'll give you some useful information. So, again, not a ton of news tonight, but, again, so many games. Why don't we just, Mike, jump right into the box scores?
Yeah, definitely.
And, like, the first game, why don't we talk about the Clippers and Washington? The Clippers put a beating on Washington at Washington. Again, remember, the Clippers do not have Blake Griffin right now. And in the first game, this is the second game the Clippers did not have Blake. In the first game, they started the wily, savvy, everyone's favorite player, Josh Smith, a very likable character. And Josh Smith played 4 minutes. As I discussed.
Which is four more minutes than he played tonight.
Very true. As I discussed yesterday, on yesterday's show, I played Josh Smith in DFS everywhere when I heard he was going to start in his last game. And he just, cost me a fortune. Because, when you play 4 minutes, you can't put up a whole lot of stats. So
literally nothing.
Right, exactly.
The most you can do is turn the ball over.
Yep. And so tonight, Josh Smith got 0 minutes, as you basically just said. And Paul Pierce got the start. Now, Paul Pierce only got 17 minutes. The Clippers actually, were up pretty early. I think they're up double digits at the half against Washington tonight. So Paul Pierce got the start, only played 17 minutes. Had 9 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Not bad. Wesley Johnson seemed to be the biggest beneficiary. Got 31 minutes, shot 5 for 8 from the field. 1 3-pointer, 4 rebounds, 14 points. Jamal Crawford, another one who saw extended
throwback minutes. Game for Jamal.
That's right, 27 minutes, and surprisingly shot the ball really well. 9 of 12, 3 for 5 from 3-point range and 21 points. So it was an interesting box score from the Clippers. What's your kind of take? I mean, do you think this is going to be the way that Doc Rivers goes and basically starts Paul Pierce now and benches Josh Smith?
This is kind of a weird one. With Blake being out, you're kind of looking for some sort of pattern, and there really hasn't been one yet. And he's not going to be out that long enough to, I think, exploit anything other than this week in head-to-head. But it's kind of surprising to see, and this might be a fluke game because it was kind of a blowout against Washington, but it's surprising to see Wesley Johnson play so well and play 31 minutes. If anyone on the bench should get a look at for your streaming and head-to-head, I think Wesley Johnson would be it. Still, no love for Lance Stephenson, and maybe rightfully so.
He basically pulled the Josh Smith for tonight. He got 4 minutes.
Yeah, 0 for 1.
So Josh Smith 4 minutes yesterday, and today Lance Stephenson.
And Luke Ricard Mbamute, I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. Had 19 minutes and had literally 2 steals and a block. Got the start for Blake Griffin, and also Paul Pierce got the start at the three. Really nothing impressive there. There's not really anything that I would see as a trend. Other than, I guess, Wesley Johnson, if you want to stream him, pick him up. Do your head. If you're doing daily, that might be the guy to lean on. But other than that, it was a bad game from Washington. They also went with a very strange starting lineup with Garrett Temple, Kelly Oubre and Jared Dudley all starting, and some of them not playing even 30 minutes. Otto Porter ended up playing one of his random really good games. What do you think about Otto Porter? He's really hit or miss.
It's first of all, he's been atrocious defensively this year. I mean, if you play DFS, I mean, one of the first things you look at if Washington is playing, you look at, you know, who's playing Washington and who is Otto Porter going to be defending that night, and you want to play that guy. You know, he's basically one of the worst defenders at the small forward position in the league.
And he's not supposed to be. He's supposed to be their defensive stopper.
It's been surprising because also they're also really struggling to defend the two, and that's when Bradley Beal's been healthy as well this year. So again, Washington, you know, they changed up the way they're playing this year. They wanted to play at a much quicker pace, and they are, but you know, their defense is suffering, you know, and you know, quite honestly, they're struggling as a team. So Otto Porter, this is the second game in a row now that Otto is coming off the bench, and Kelly Oubre got the start. I like Kelly Oubre. He's got some talent. He's got some upside. So, you know, Otto Porter obviously takes a hit. But, you know, tonight, I think Otto Porter was probably the best player, you know, for Washington, along with probably John Wall, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like Kelly Oubre. Maybe as a long-term prospect, but in standard leagues, I don't think he's doing enough to get you anywhere. And sadly, Jared Dudley only played 13 minutes, and I always kind of secretly like Jared Dudley. I think he had a stretch there for about a week where he was all right. Otto Porter is really pissing me off though, just because he can put up this type of game. That's 21, 8 rebound, 2 steals, 2 assists, 3 3-pointers type of game. Tomorrow or whatever their next game is, he's going to have 6 points, 2 rebounds. He's not going to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, overall though, I'm still not overly concerned with Otto Porter. I mean, he's got to get minutes. I mean, what I think he'll go back into the starting lineup, and even if he doesn't, though, he's going to be a player who gets at least 30 minutes a night. So I'm not overly concerned what to do. I mean, one guy though for Washington who's been playing, you know, ridiculously well, and I think he got Player of the Week last week is Gortat at the center position. Like, I mean, he's just been playing out of his mind. Like earlier in the year, they were limiting his minutes to basically about 28 a game. Now he's consistently seeing in the mid 30s, 34 minutes tonight, 16 boards, still, you know, gave you 12 points. So he even when they got blown out tonight, you know, he still put up big numbers. So like, I'm a big fan of him right now, especially as long as Bradley Beal is out. I love Gortat.
Yeah, that's pretty huge for him. I think, like you were saying, they're trying to play this up-tempo, shooting threes type of, you know, Golden State-esque offense. And I think that really hurt Marcin Gortat because that's not his style. And it took a while to adjust to that. I actually thought maybe they were going to go away from him, and they kind of did. They kind of limited his minutes, and they were trying different lineups with Chris Humphreys starting. But it looks like Marcin Gortat, you know, they're trusting him. He's playing well within the offensive scheme now. Maybe it took a little bit to get it. It takes a little while to get new schemes like that. I don't think people terribly appreciate how long it takes to actually learn a new offensive scheme as a professional. I don't know if I would sell high on him. I think he's still pretty good, and he's still got a lot to offer for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's interesting if you watched him play, because, I mean, you know, Gortat and Wall, I mean, they play well together. I mean, they do a lot of pick and rolls, and, you know, and that's where Gortat gets a lot of easy layups that way. So, you know, yeah, I'm like you. I'm actually a fan of Gortat, and I don't know if I would want to sell high on him right now either. I mean, I guess if you did, I couldn't blame you, especially, you know, since Beal is out right now. But, you know, I am a fan of Gortat. Otherwise, though, I am not a fan of Jared Dudley. I do not want to own that guy anywhere. And
he had some value a couple of seasons ago, and he's always kind of a little bit of a sleeper, but his health is bad and he's just not that great.
All right. Let us move on, my friend, to our next game. And that is a sad game for me as the Brooklyn Nets, who were 1-12 on the road. And then they defeated your Chicago Bulls to go 2-12.
That's true.
And now they defeated my mother effing Miami Heat. They go to 3-13 on the road, what was interesting in this game. So Miami, I actually watched this game. Miami was destroying the Nets like they should have. They're up by, I don't think it was like 15 or 16 around the half.
Yeah,
Dwayne Wade and Bosch, you know, couldn't miss. And then to start the second half, Lionel Hollins benched Jared Jack, and he benched Bogdanovich, and he started Shane Larkin, and he started Wayne Ellington. And then Wayne Ellington decided to explode for 7 three-pointers, and he had played 33 minutes, 9 for 18 from the field, again, 7 for 9 from three-point range, unbelievable, 26 points, also had 7 rebounds. It was just, you know, one of those games that where he just he went nuts, and the Nets ended up beating Miami. Horrible loss for the Heat. So I'm not sure how much to take away from the Nets box score in this game. What do you think?
Not a huge blowout. So with Wayne Ellington coming out of nowhere and dropping 7 threes, 26 points, and 7 rebounds, good game. Surprisingly, still a close enough game for the Heat. Not a lot to take out of this. I guess the question is Wayne Ellington now going to be favored in that Brooklyn backcourt? Does he take the starting position from Bogdanovich, who is okay offensively? I've already written off Joe Johnson a long time ago.
First of all, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Joe Johnson
horrible.
Played some of the most useless 35 minutes of action. And Lionel Hollins talked about this after the game. He said he thought about benching the entire starting unit to start the second half, and he didn't. He only benched Jack and Bogdanovich. But Joe Johnson, he was a dead man. Like, at the half, I think he played, like, 18, 19 minutes and literally had zeros across the board. He might have had, like, one rebound. He's so lifeless out there. Like,
I'm not sure why anyone would own him in a standard league other than name recognition.
The thing is, though, he 35 minutes tonight. It's like unbelievable to me that Joe Johnson can get 35 minutes and not put up enough stats to be relevant in a standard league. You know, it's just, I get it, he's age, but if you give anyone about 35 minutes in the NBA, they should be putting up relevant stats.
They should put up something better than that.
Yeah.
The very, very least, even, you know, Gary Nance Jr. does that. I kind of wrote a thing about Joe Johnson back in, November. I'm proud of myself. And looking at where he was in his career, he had a pretty bad start. He's also had a pretty bad rest of the season, too. But he was having a bad start, and people were asking whether or not what was going on with him. And people were like,
I think he has no pulse.
He's done. He's absolutely done. So what I wrote about him was that his usage rate had been incredibly high. And I actually went out and compared his usage rate to KG's over the same period of time, and it was very similar. And when his usage rate started to drop the way KG's did, that's when KG's decline happened. And Joe Johnson's decline is happening.
So his usage rate this year is 17.9%, which is, for someone of his caliber – or at least, well, I guess not anymore, but someone who used to be, you know, what is he, a 7-8-time All-Star or something like that?
Yeah.
That's a ridiculously low, you know, usage rate.
His previous usage rate was 24.6. Wow. But this is his 14th year in the league. He is 34 years old. That is a lot of miles to have 24.6 usage rate for 14 straight years, or averaged over 14 years. So he's done.
I mean, like, it's just interesting, though. I mean, like, what is Lionel Hollins supposed to do? Like, what is Brooklyn supposed to do? Like, it's just wasted minutes. Then, to give Joe Johnson 35 minutes, it's just.
I mean, focus on the thing is like, focus on the young team and get a good draft pick. Oh, they don't have any draft picks.
Right, and who else? Who are you going to play? Like, if you wanted to like bench Joe Johnson or try to trade him. I guess you couldn't trade that.
But who's going to want his corpse? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In that contract.
No, that's what I'm saying. So there's really nothing you can do. You just got to play him, I guess. I mean, if you sit him on the bench, who would even start in his place? Like Thomas Robinson? So it's like, you know, you really, if you're Lionel Hollins, as much as I'm not a big Lionel Hollins fan but as a coach, he really does have his hands tied. And kind of as me and you were discussing pre-show, one thing about Brooklyn, not a lot of talent, but they do play hard. They've been in a lot of games.
Yeah, they're occasionally frisky against the – a good team. So obviously they beat the Bulls, they beat the Heat, and they actually played really well against the Warriors, which people will forget in the due to their record. But they have distinct talent, and Brook Lopez is most of it. Jared Jack does things occasionally, and Thaddeus Young is pretty good. It's a nice little stretch four. I think that would be maybe their only hope of trading, is that you move Thaddeus Young to Houston or Phoenix for some draft picks. I don't know. Thaddeus Young is probably the only person who has, and Brooke Lopez, if you want to take on his contract, are the only people with trade value there, but they got to blow that team up. There's nothing going on there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, speaking of Brooke Lopez, I mean, he took 24 shots tonight. I mean, he was actually, he only shot 10 for 24, but he was abusing Whiteside for a lot of that game. So,
and that's a bad sign for the Heat, right? Whiteside's supposed to be this amazing defensive stopper, and he had five blocks tonight. So if you're looking at fantasy, what do you care? Like, I don't care.
Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, in fantasy, like, Whiteside is great. You look at those numbers, but in real life, I mean, he just goes if you watch him play on, you know, defense, like the Heat want, he blows assignments because he just wants to get those blocks. So it's kind of frustrating to watch him play, because again, he'll come up with great blocks, but then Brooke Lopez will just use and abuse him for your first three quarters of that game.
Oh, yeah. So, what about your boy Dragic?
I mean, Dragic.
Dragic.
Look, you know, we all thought, you know, a couple weeks ago that Dragic had turned the corner. He was playing better, but he's not a good fit for this team. So I just don't think, unless, you know, Spoelstra, you know, switches offenses in the middle of the season, which I don't think is going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I'm just not expecting big numbers from Dragic anymore this year.
He's a horrible mess
with D Wade and Bosch and even Dang. Those guys just don't want to run. I mean, Dragic, you know, has to get out in space, get out on the open floor, and it's just not going to happen, especially with the Heat's first unit at all.
Yeah, I've been out on him ever since he started the season slow, and even during those kind of frisky weeks where he seemed like he was back, I was saying just stay away from that guy. Like, there's something up with him. There's something wrong with maybe him or the system or both. I actually probably think it's both.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a combination, because he didn't play basketball all offseason. He had a bunch of personal issues. So, I mean, it was not unexpected when he started the season slow. He was out of shape. But now it's been, you know, a third of the season, and he's also not a good fit, surprisingly, with Whiteside. Like, and he's, if you speak to, like, the Heat reporters and the beat writers, I mean, they'll talk about it. Like, you know, Dragic, you know, he wants to penetrate, and he thinks Whiteside just clogs up that paint. Whereas Wade and Whiteside, they play together beautifully, but Dragic and Whiteside, it's just not a good fit. So if you have Dragic on your team, I guess you got to keep him. But it's just, I would try to, you know, pull some type of deal. Yeah, maybe you can package Dragic with another player, or you can just take him. You know, maybe you have someone who hasn't been paying attention, and you just can kind of trade Dragic on name value alone. But I do not expect those numbers to go up drastically anymore.
Yeah, maybe he has another week or two where he looks pretty good.
Right.
Try to move him. Try to sell high on him. I just think this is who he is this year, and maybe he can move to another team at some point, and he'll be in a better system. But it's not like he's young.
And the other problem is Miami just signed him to that monster contract. He's making like $90 million, you know, for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So Miami. This as I was talking to you, this could be a disaster for Miami. Like, it would not surprise me, because again, they've had the easiest schedule in the NBA. They've had the most home games. It would not surprise me one bit if they end up not making the playoffs.
That East is so tight. There's a lot of teams that I'm worried about, including the Bulls, and not making the playoffs. But it'll make an exciting rest of the year. That's for sure.
No doubt, man. Let us move on.
Yeah.
On to another very exciting game where the Los Angeles Lakers lost a close one. If the Lakers can only lose by 10, that's pretty close. That's good, right?
It's close for the Lakers, yeah.
The Lakers lost 108-98 to Charlotte. It was at Charlotte. My favorite stats were when I was looking. The Lakers, sadly, you know, I do kind of – the same thing for Derrick Rose that I do to Kobe. I immediately look to see how many shots he's taken. It's just so inefficient. So Kobe was 5 for 20. He was, you know, he was like banged up and was somewhat questionable if he's going to play, although he ended up being probable. So he, you know, obviously played 32 minutes, 5 for 20, took 12 three-pointers. I mean, he can't get by anyone anymore. So that's why he just jacks up three-pointers. It's just absurd. So he shot 5 of 20, 3 for 12 from three-point range, had 20 points. But, again, it's very inefficient for Kobe.
It's sad to watch, but it's exactly what the Lakers need, a high draft pick.
Yeah, and also I guess, you know, in speaking of, if you're like a, you know, Charlotte Hornets fan, you know, or any opposing team, right? You want to see Kobe in his last stop in that city. So
yeah, those are the hardest tickets to get right now.
Yep. Yeah.
The hardest tickets in any city is the Lakers game. Not the Golden State game, the Lakers game.
Which is insane. So
yeah, I disagree. I'd rather go to the Golden State game.
Right. So to go along with Kobe, I mean, also just some brilliant shooting by Lou Williams. Lou Williams, for some God only knows reason, Byron Scott gave that bumbling guy 38 minutes. He shot 4 for 13. Did not play well at all. Had 7 assists, which was
7 assists, 4 rebounds, a steal. Not good. I mean, very Lou Williams-esque line.
7 assists though for 7 assists for Lou Williams. Like back in his Toronto days. I don't think he got 7 assists like in his first seven seasons in the league, if he's even played that long. So that was a pleasant surprise, but like I'm just, you know, how long is, in your opinion, is Byron going to keep giving Lou Williams this many minutes? Because look,
the rest of the season,
you really think so?
Absolutely. So let's say the Lakers are how about after the All-Star break,
right?
And D'Angelo maybe will finally start getting minutes. They'll start bringing him along. But as long as Kobe is out there jacking up threes, Lou Williams is going to be right next to him jacking up whatever he does. They're trying to lose games. They need to keep their draft pick. That's what's going on here. People can say that's not what's going on here. There's Kobe being Kobe.
Yeah, but still, like I just don't think if, like, D'Angelo Russell in 23 minutes tonight, Julius Randle 19 minutes. I just don't – the Lakers, like those two guys are not good enough. Where if you tell me you're giving them 26 to 28 minutes a game, which Byron should be giving them, it's not going to give the Lakers more wins. I mean
– let's say it might be a 1 to 2 win difference. It's incredibly pointless to not give them the minutes, to not develop them. But can you develop them next to Kobe?
I guess that is a very relevant question, you know, and I'm not sure. But well, also, though, Kobe's minutes need to go down. Like, Kobe should be playing 24 minutes a game. That's it. And then you can play, you know, Russell and Randle about 24 to 26. And you can even play Russell and Randle a little bit with Kobe. But, you know, like, I'm just praying that as the season goes on, you know, Kobe's minutes go down and Russell's and Randle's go up. But again, with Byron, God only knows. And like you said, the Lakers do need to finish, you know, as one of the top, you know, worst three records in the NBA. So
yeah, at some point, those minutes will maybe switch. But you're looking at maybe the last month and a half of the season.
All right. So in turning this to standard, you know, standard,
yeah,
season long, in, you know, terms. So for right now, for the Lakers, would you want to own any of these guys? Lou Williams and Larry Nance Jr.? Because Larry Nance Jr. now has had two games in a row where he's played well. 27 minutes today. He's not a big scorer, only took 7 shots, made 6 of them, 7 rebounds. But so Lou Williams and Larry Nance Jr., those two guys, are either of those guys.
That's the more intriguing line, I would say. Larry Nance is a little bit more interesting because he's actually playing when he's playing decently. I don't think I want to sadly, Lou Williams might be the only person worth owning on that team because he's getting the minutes. He's getting plenty of minutes. He's shooting poorly. So you got to be in a certain type of I'm punting field goal percentage to run with Lou Williams. But that team's a mess. The whole I don't know if I want to own anyone on that team other than Kobe. If you're punting field goals,
yeah, I mean, it's painful. I mean, Jordan Clarkson again, he got 35 minutes, which was nice to see, but like he just cannot play well with Kobe either. And he's in a horrible shooting slump. 2 for 14 tonight. You know, like I have a league where I actually own Clarkson and Lou and D'Angelo Russell, and it's just every day I look at that team and I just like. Just want to bang my head against my computer or whatever screen I'm looking at. I just don't. I think both of those guys have upside, so I'm not yet ready to drop them, but I'm getting close.
I'm saying drop them. I mean, D'Angelo Russell is just either he's not that good. He needs a couple years to develop into something relevant. and or he's not going to get the minutes, he's not going to get the playing time, and he's not going to get the consistency to develop the skills he needs this year. It's just not going to happen. He occasionally shows, I mean, not to say, like, he shows flashes of very interesting lines, sometimes at a week or two at a time, but he always falls off. He's in that fringe, barely ownable level of, like, that if you're in a regular standard league.
Yeah, all right.
The only guy I wish they would unleash is Julius Randle. I think if Julius Randle played 36 minutes a game, he would be good.
Agree. All right, let's quickly move over to Charlotte. Anything sure. Stick out for you looking at the Hornets box score? Like, Kemba Walker went berserk today. He basically pulled a Wayne Ellington for 42 minutes, 14 for 25 from the field, 3 for 6 from three-pointers, had 38 points. He put up – if you play DFS – you know, like I do, 60 FanDuel points, just crushed it. Nicholas Batum, man, like, he's probably my favorite player to watch right now.
I love him this year.
He's fantastic. 11 assists for Nicholas Batum tonight.
He's doing what I thought he would do last year. It's very frustrating.
You were a year earlier, a year late.
I'm ahead of the game. Exactly. to my own detriment. I think the line that sticks out, two lines, is that Jeremy Lin coming off the bench 35 minutes. Jeremy Lin coming off the bench has been fantasy relevant all year. He's a good kind of end of the bench guard to keep around in case there's ever an injury on that team. You know, he can provide the value at the guard position. And Cody Zeller starting 33 minutes, 8 rebounds, 16 points, 8 for 10. He's also been playing relatively decent minutes. More of a percentage guy. He doesn't get a lot of blocks for a center, which I don't like. And he's never going to, you know, lead the team in scoring or anything like that. But some solid rebounds, some solid, actually 1.4 steals over the last 2 weeks. And shooting 58%. So if you're a percentages kind of guy, he'd be a decent end of the bench add as well.
I also think that we should mention that Big Sexy Al Jefferson got 15 minutes tonight as he's working his way back from his 5-game suspension for eating some brownies. He got 15 minutes, only took 4 shots, 4 rebounds. So it's going to be interesting to see once, if ever, Al Jefferson can get in shape to back to a, you know, full on basketball shape, to see how many minutes he gets and what, you know, if he was even if he, you know, overtakes the starting position again, or because remember before the suspension, Big Al, they were limiting his minutes, they were not giving him even 30 minutes a game, keeping him around the 26 to 28 minute mark. So I'm very interested to see what happens with Big Al. Also, you know, Big Al, you know, he takes shots, you know, when he does play, so it hurts Kemba's value, it hurts all those guys' value when he does play. So it will be interesting to see what happens in the next 5 to 10 games once Big Al gets back up to par.
Yeah, if you own some of those other guys, you don't want to see him return because he does kind of dictate the offense. He's also, if he's on your waiver wires, which I would be surprised if he wasn't because he hasn't played in since the end of November up until recently, is that Al Jefferson has – the ability to be an incredibly good fantasy player. Now, is that still relevant? Like, just 2 years ago, he was the 16th overall on averages. Last year, he was.
That's 50. Crazy.
Yeah. He's been in the top 20 since the 10-11 season.
Wait, so right now, would if he's on your waiver wire in one of your leagues, would you pick him up? Because, like, I would not.
But I would be keeping an eye on his box score every single night. And the second I see him playing 30 minutes and looking good, I mean, or, you know, here's an idea. Watch the games. The second you see him looking good playing starters minutes 30 plus minutes a night, that's a 100% a flyer you need to take. Because this year, granted, he has not been – up to par, and he might just be on his way out of the league. He has been in the league a very long time, even though he's only 30. But I'm willing to take a flyer on him because of the value his potential. He has the potential to be a standard league value at the very least, if not a top 70 player.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, like he's going to hurt a lot of, you know, the value of, you know, like I said, of a little bit, you know, a little bit Kemba, a little bit Marvin Williams, definitely Cody Zeller, and also my boy Frank Kaminsky, who's not really going to be fantasy relevant. Again, only 20 minutes tonight for Big Frank. So like I was excited watching Frank Kaminsky get some run, but I think those days are going to be numbered as Big L's minutes increase. So let's move on, my friend, and we should go to let's go to one of the later games. That's
sure
still 20 seconds to go in it, but I feel we got to talk about this game because there's been a player who's just been I think the game just ended, but there's been a player who dominated tonight, and that is Ish Smith for Philly. You know, hopefully you guys picked him up on waivers. If you haven't picked him up, you know, pause the broadcast right now or the podcast and go look and see if he's available in any of your leagues. If he is, go grab him, man. It looks like he's been given the keys, and he's going to be able to do whatever he wants. You know, with Mike D'Antoni now kind of as the associate head coach for Philly. Ish Smith tonight, only, you know, so Philadelphia was at Utah. Utah won 95-91. But I was watching a little of this game. Ish Smith basically carried Philly on his back for large stretches. He was 8-for-21 from the floor. 21 shots for Ish. 11 assists.
Very Kobe-esque.
Yeah, 11 assists, though, which was awesome to see. 22 points, and he also had 2 steals. So fantastic line for him. I'm really pumped. Well, I'm actually not pumped because I didn't get him anywhere. Me neither. Yeah, so – but in terms of, like, what he can do the rest of the year, I think he's going to be able to put up, you know, big-time value. And also what we should note is, you know, someone who we thought is going to be relevant for Philadelphia, and that's Kendall Marshall, got 4 minutes. So, you know, you can basically clunk if you want.
Oh, yeah.
You can take Josh Smith and Kendall Marshall because they both only get 4 minutes in our game. So,
yeah, it's very sad. The whole Isaiah Cannon Kendall Marshall argument was raging on before they both got back from injury, and then they went out and traded and got Ish Smith, brought him back on the team. They could have just re-signed him, and they gave him the key. He has the keys to that offense, and they need stability at the guard because I think that's what's limiting Okafor. That's what's limiting Noel. Though those two are limiting each other. Okafor and Nerlens Noel cannot play with each other. And you can see tonight, Nerlens had a really good line. He had 18 points, 5 blocks, 2 steals, 6 rebounds. That's an old school Nerlens Noel line. And that's because Jahlil Okafor is not playing. And he had a pretty decent game, I think, the game before this when Okafor wasn't playing either. Those two can't play together.
Nope.
And I'm not sure what to do about that situation. Maybe while Noel is playing well without him, you want to sell high on that guy, go right ahead. But Ishmith is definitely someone you want to run if you don't care about turnovers and you don't care about percentages. Then he's definitely someone you want to have on your team immediately.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, I was done. But if you want to throw in one more player out there, Bob Covington.
Yeah,
beautiful Bob.
That's the guy I want to talk about.
What's going on?
Because also for Philly, we need to discuss. There were some other, you know, of course, because Philly can't be consistent, right? So they did tweak the starting lineup again. They benched Covington today, and they benched Jeremy Grant. They started, you know, the 17-year veteran Carl Landry. Well, I honestly didn't even know he was still in the league. So, and Carl
Landry was in the Clippers for a while, wasn't he? I don't remember.
I have no idea. But Houston, that guy, he's another Benjamin Button. You can throw him in with like Richard Jefferson and all the guys who never age, I guess. And
he played 8 minutes.
Right. So,
what are they doing playing a guy and then he's terrible? Like, we're going to start you tonight. Oh, yeah. You're terrible. Never mind. We're going to sit you the rest of the game.
It makes no sense why some of these coaches feel the need to do this with these veterans and give them just minutes that should go to the younger guys. But so Philly started Carl Landry again. Like you said, he only got 8 minutes. But they also started Jakar Sampson, who only got 19 minutes. And Isaiah Cannon only got 17 minutes. So the rotation, as always, for Philly is a mess. But I should say this. When I was looking at Covington, because I own Covington in one of my leagues, and I was looking at his – so Covington tonight got 26 minutes off the bench, 3-for-9, 1-for-5 from 3-point range, 8 points, 0 steals. Like, if you own Covington, you basically own him for steals and 3-pointers, yeah. And he's been a disaster. All right, I'm gonna test your knowledge. Over the last 10 games,
yes.
How many times? You know what? I'll include this game. Over the last 11 games now, How many times do you think Covington has shot 50% from the field?
Without looking it up, from 50% from the field, he is on one of my team and one of my important teams. I'm going to say once.
Yep, one dang time, and it was barely 50%. It was like 4 for 8.
But you're not in the Bob Covington game.
No, I'm
to
not.
Shoot high percentages.
I'm not. But
he's not shooting well at all. Like, he's not above 40 either.
No, he's atrocious right now. Like, and the thing is, like, I don't know why. I'm not ready to drop him. Like,
no, I'm not dropping him. I mean, if you're in a league where you don't care about field goals and you don't care about field goals at all, then he's a wonderful player with his steals and three pointers. But
not lately.
He's gonna come off the bench, and he's gonna play less than 30 minutes a game. Well, then I just don't see how they can continue to allow that to happen. But it's Philly; it's a mess.
Yep. So it's like, I would just keep your eye on the box score and watch Covington's, you know, see how many minutes he's getting a game a night. Like, I wouldn't, like you, I'm not ready to drop him, but it's been maddening because he had such a nice streak, you know, a few weeks back, and now the last couple of weeks he's been a nightmare. So just keep your eye on Covington, you know, and pray that he just keeps getting those minutes and just comes out of the slump, because he should eventually. Like,
yeah, Philly, it's a long season. I think he'll be fine.
Philly, you know, even though they have Ish and they have, you know, now, and they have Okafor when he's healthy.
Ish is going to help him, I feel. Because
you would think so, right? There. You would think. So I'm hoping he's going to mesh well with Ish. We'll see.
Anything on the Jazz? I know Alex Burks is out with the injury. It looks like Neto started with Rodney Hood, but that's pretty standard-ish. I don't know if there is any standard with the Jazz.
Yeah, this seems to be what they're doing. I mean, they're playing Jeff Withy, and you know, when Favors is out. And Withy, you know, I was making fun of him yesterday, and Mark kind of got mad at me. And maybe, you know, and Withy had a nice game. In 24 minutes, he gave you 11 points, 12 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. So, you know, like, I really – look, that's solid production, man. That's almost
– that's more than solid production. Yeah. Overall, though, I mean, let's go look at what he's been doing other than tonight. Obviously, he has the ability to get – this type of production, this type of log. And over the last week or so, it looks like they've kind of been the thing is, he's playing less. And I'm all about people getting good production in limited minutes. But if you continue to have limited minutes, you're going to continue to have limited production.
Right.
Play him 23 minutes a night. He's not going to have 11 points and 12 rebounds every one of those nights. With 2 blocks.
Yep.
He's going to have a night where he's 0 points, 4 rebounds, and well, still 2 blocks. Actually, that's not that terrible. He's definitely someone to keep an eye on. If they're going to play him more minutes, if you need a big man, he would be a good flyer to take, because he's shown that he's able to get blocks and rebounds in limited minutes. So if he's playing 30, but I don't know if the synopsis on Rudy Gobert, it sounded like mid-January was when his return was. So for the rest of the year, this is probably not like the you're going to get the steal of the century picking him up off the waivers, because Gobert will be back. But
yeah, I mean, actually, and I think once Favors comes back, I think that basically makes Withy, you know, not fantasy relevant. So I'm not – if I need to stream a player, maybe I would take a flyer on Withy, because he's shown that if he gets the minutes, he can do it. But, you know, I think once Favors comes back, Withy's not going to get enough minutes to keep him relevant.
Yeah, well, with both of those guys out, he's only playing 23 minutes. So right. That's saying – and that's the highest – I believe the highest minute total he's had maybe all season. Yep. No, he had 24 minutes against Orlando in November. So, yeah. Do I have a lot of faith in him? No. But do I want to keep an eye on him? Yes.
And the one thing that I was the most interested to see in Utah tonight with Burks out is how you know, Rodney Hood, you know, because I was hoping Rodney Hood's going to see more minutes, obviously, the more, you know, higher usage, you know, more playmaking opportunities. And Rodney Hood only got 27 minutes. He did get 15 shots, was 4 of 15, 0 for 5 from three-point range, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. So not a horrible line. But, you know, again, with Burks out, I do think Rodney Hood's going to be the – kind of the main beneficiary, though.
Yeah, I've always liked Rodney Hood
tonight.
Yeah, I've always liked Rodney Hood. I think he's got the ability to fill up score a lot and fill up a few of the other categories you want. But Utah just, you know, is kind of floundering without their defensive anchor, and offensive forward guy might not be what the coach wants to go with. You know, it's kind of a – there's a lot of these teams like falling into like, uh-oh, this is becoming a mess. Philly, Lakers, Phoenix, Utah. There's two – it's a very strange season because usually by this time most teams have a rotation. And I feel like at this time of the season this year, there's a lot of teams where it's very questionable. Even Minnesota, Orlando, New Orleans. I mean, there's a bunch of somewhat legitimate teams still toying with their lineups very far into the season, more so than usual. And I wonder if Golden State was kind of the catalyst of that, putting Iguodala on the bench and stuff. But it really hurts your fantasy predictions when you have coaches like Scott Skiles putting Oladipo on the bench.
Yep, and especially for DFS. I mean, like, I actually made a list of this and put it on my site. That, I mean, there's over half the teams in the NBA that really do not have consistent rotations right now. And that makes, you know, playing DFS and also season long, it's probably one of the hardest years that I've had. And I think it is a lot, like you said, you know, there's been this big kind of trend now for all teams to go small.
Yeah.
Big man's really not relevant. So.
Limit minutes, yep. You know.
Resting a lot on the back-to-backs and all kinds of weird things going on like that.
To me, it's a very strange season. A lot of the strategies, a lot of the things I've been trying to do, some of them are coming up short. Some of them have worked, but a lot of like those kind of guys, you're like, well, I have like three really great players. Why is my team struggling? It's because those fringe players that you would assume would get 34 minutes are getting 26 minutes.
Yep. Mark, you know, we just spoke about an interesting player, and that is Ish Smith. So you know what would make a fascinating no halftime challenge? And you know what no halftime is, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, no halftime. If you guys don't have the app by now, you need to get the app. You know, it's a one-on-one daily fantasy action. It's just beautiful. I spend half my day at the office on Tinder and the other half on no halftime. Yeah. It's really the way to go.
I like it as a daily option. It's like – I know – maybe I don't know a lot about who's all playing tonight, but I know one guy very well. I can run with that guy.
Yep. So why don't we do a quick little no halftime challenge? Now, for Philly, Ish Smith suddenly becomes a fantastic play on no halftime.
Yeah, he's
right?
Very good. Yeah, but a lot of people might not be on him yet.
Right. So who are you and my dog is very excited about Ish Smith as well. So
yeah.
Would you be willing to take – let me see if I come one. I'm looking – oh, this is one that I find very intriguing. Ish Smith versus Kemba Walker.
Ooh, I would. I would take that because Kemba Walker can get streaky, like we saw in his box score with 38 points. That guy's good, and I think Ish Smith, while the potential is there for him to maybe surpass Kemba on a bad night, Kemba's better than Ish Smith.
So wait. So you. So if we did that challenge, you would take Kemba?
Absolutely.
Oh, dude, I would take Ish.
Oh wow! Well, yeah. Then I think I might just have made some money,
dude. I'm
gonna have to find this out.
I'm gonna dominate you on this one. I feel it. All right, so that is a challenge that me and Mark will do. If anyone else wants in on that excellent action, you should find both of us on Twitter and let us know. Again, I am for Ish.
And go Mark, to what, halftime nohalftime.com.
Absolutely.
And the
and download the app.
What's that promo code?
Oh, the promo code is BBALL. That is BBALL. You put in that code, boom, you get a magical $25 appears in your account, you know, and you're good to go. And then you
put all of it on Kemba Walker.
Or you could put all
of it on Smith.
Exactly.
I'm not going to do that.
But I do think if you're really looking to make some money, no halftime. If you put, you know, Ish up against, you know, a guy like George Hill, maybe someone would bite at that. If you put Ish against someone like Darren Collison, maybe you could get some action on that, and I think you could easily win some nice money there.
Yeah, go around the league and start taking starting point guards over with Ish Smith, and I think at least half of them, over half of them, he's going to outperform.
I totally agree with you. I mean, the 21 shots today is now obviously it was also without Okafor, but still like 21 shots, that's a ton for a point guard. So all right. Let us move on, my friend, to another game. Let's see. Did we talk your Bulls yet?
Not talk about the Bulls. They did win tonight against someone they needed to beat, the Toronto Raptors.
A big game in the East.
Yeah. Let's take a look here. Louis Scola with 28 minutes, 6 for 10, 13 points, 8 rebounds. He's been kind of a benefactor, him and Bismack Biyombo, one of the best names in the league, have been kind of reaping the benefit of Jonas Valanciunas being gone. But tonight, Jonas Valanciunas played 21 minutes.
Yep. He's back. Yep, Jonas is being eased back into action. 21 minutes tonight. And obviously, once he does get back up to playing close to 30 minutes, I think it kills Bismack's value, right?
It's already starting to kill it. Bismack played 18 minutes. He had 9 rebounds, 0 blocks. It's kind of sad for Bismack because he was putting together elite blocks and elite rebounds, something that's hard to get in most leagues, or in any league, really. If you're playing Roto League or you need someone to put that together for your head-to-head, you're behind on those. He can swing you a week, easy.
Yep.
And Jonas Valanciunas, while more well-rounded of a player, he's going to score more. He's going to contribute with assists and steals a little bit more than Bismack. He's not going to get you the blocks. And quite frankly, he's not going to get you the rebounds that Bismack does. So it's kind of sad that Bismack's on his way back to the bench. But Jonas Valanciunas, his percentages are good. He doesn't carry a lot of standard league value. If he's still sitting on your waiver wire for an unknown reason, pick him up because he will be starting and playing starters minutes very soon.
Yeah, I mean, we also should say for Toronto today, Damari Carroll finally made his way back into the starting lineup.
Look at that. Yep. Pick him up too. I'm in a generous mood with the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, so Damari Carroll got 25 minutes, 4 for 11 from the floor, 4 rebounds, 10 points. So, like you said, I mean, if he is available in any of your leagues, I would go kind of snag him up. What was fascinating, though, is to me tonight, who still got 30 minutes, and that's Terrence Ross, which was surprising. Because he was becoming close to being somewhat relevant in fantasy. But, I'm not sure that I want to own him anymore, but he still got 30 minutes tonight, 3 for 9. It's only 2 rebounds. He's kind of a one-trick pony, very scoring dependent, but. Seeing him still get those minutes was interesting to me.
He's very reliant on getting hot. He's kind of a poor man's J.R. Smith. When he's hot, you want him on your team. And tonight, 30 points, 3 for 9, 0 for 4 from three-pointers, 2 rebounds, a block, 6 points. 30 minutes, great, but when he can't shoot, he can't shoot. And he's too streaky for me to other than pick him up at the end of my bench when he's hot. He's a little too streaky for me. And with Damari Carroll, he only played 25 minutes. He's going to eventually start playing 35 minutes. I think Terrence Ross's value is probably on its way out.
All right, let us move on to your team, man. What did you see from the Bulls?
Well, if you want to go look, like you said, you like to go look at Derrick Rose's percentages, 7 for 16, 20 points tonight. That's not half bad. He actually made some three-pointers. That's satisfying in a weird, sad way. they finally freed Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis played 27 minutes, which is actually pretty surprising.
And you got to give the Bulls front office credit because they nailed that pick. They really did.
I have a love-hate relationship with the Bulls front office. They do a lot of things right, and they do a lot of things wrong.
I hate them. I think they're atrocious. That's the only reason why I'm saying that. Like, I'm shocked.
Look around the league. I think they're one of the better front offices, though.
I mean, I just can't stand Gar Foreman. I can't stand Paxton.
They're running a mafia in there. They own the media out here. And when Jimmy Butler kind of acted up, they kind of went after him through the media. And they're protected. They're always going to be protected. And that's, that's Chicago media. That's Chicago politics. That's Chicago basketball. That's Chicago everything. That's the city that I live in.
So what did you think, though, tonight? I mean, two things stuck out to me with the Bulls box score, and that's Jimmy Butler only getting 7 shots in 36 minutes, which just pains me. Especially when there's so many games where I see Derrick Rose taking more than double the amount of shots Jimmy Butler takes. So that's number one. Number two is Mirotić. God, we all know that Mirotić has the upside, but only 17. Mirotić started But yeah, only 17 minutes. So what are your thoughts on those two?
Oh, Mirotić, we just don't know if he's any good. And turns out he's pretty streaky. And I think he needs to be in a certain type of offense for him to work. And it looks like they had him at the three tonight. And when his limited run at the three last year, he was not very effective. And, you know, Højbjerg, whether he's a good coach or a bad coach, he's not that great. He isn't afraid of playing with the lineups. So Nico had a couple good games. He throws him in the lineup, and he's not shooting well, 1-for-6. And he takes him, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to give Bobby Portis some more run. Bobby Portis had 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 12 points on 6-for-10. And Tony Snell also, usually – the bane of the Bulls' existence, turning the ball over late and being not good, had an incredible night with 22 points, 4 three-pointers, 7 rebounds. If Tony Snell can play like this, we're going to win games. But this is not the normal Tony Snell. That is not the normal amount of minutes Bobby Portis or Tony Snell should get, or will get. Aaron Brooks also had 27 minutes, not very normal either. Kind of a weird rotation tonight, and I guess the two people you want to say who are stable, Jimmy Butler, and with Noah out, Taj Gibson. Taj Gibson has got 38 minutes tonight. While he shot pretty poorly, 2 blocks, a steal, 2 assists, 11 rebounds. So that guy is a guy you want to pick up in standard leagues because he's getting the minutes right now. But with someone like Nico, too streaky. I'm not worried about Jimmy Butler's bad night, though he should always shoot more than Derrick Rose. I completely agree with that. But a lot of people are on the Bobby Portis, Tony Snell, maybe after this game. Don't get your hopes up with those two because they could go back down to 9 minutes tomorrow.
Yep, totally agree with you. Real quickly, I was trying to look at Jimmy Butler's usage rate this year and see what that is. And I couldn't
find it. It's got to be one of the higher ones.
You would think. But yeah, I mean, like seeing – like I just don't understand, like, 7 shots in 36 minutes. Like, that should not happen to me. Like Mirotić played 17 minutes and took 6 shots. Yeah. Like, Taj Gibson took 7 shots. Like,
well, Nico's not one to worry about where he's shooting from or how he's shooting or who's in front of him. Or Butler will, when his shot's not hitting, he will try to facilitate the offense a little bit more, which may be what he was doing tonight. I actually didn't catch this game tonight. He might have been trying to facilitate a little bit more because his shot was off, but 7 shots is pretty surprisingly low.
Right. All right. Let's move on, man, to our last game of the night that we have time to talk about on the show. An interesting game. I know, you know, this was a game that I was looking to kind of forward to see what's going to go on because Phoenix is an absolute mess right now. You know, on yesterday's show, you know, we mentioned the news about Eric Bledsoe now, you know, being out with the meniscus, and looked like Devin Booker was going to get the start. Devin Booker did get the start tonight. You know, also Phoenix fired a couple of their assistant coaches, you know, yesterday. You know, Hornacek is still, there's, you know, rumors about his job is still, you know, in jeopardy. So it's just a mess for Phoenix. You know, looking at this box score, you know, like I said, Booker started, you know, for Bledsoe, got 29 minutes, only took 6 shots, was 5-for-6, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 10 points. You know, off the bench, T.J. Warren played really well, got 27 minutes, was 9-for-15 from the floor, 4-for-5 from three-point range, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 23 points. But when you look at the Phoenix, you know, box score tonight, you know, kind of what are your takeaways seeing the first game without Bledsoe?
Well, I'm a little surprised that Brandon Knight didn't do more with his opportunity to run the offense completely. Good night. Not a great night. I've seen better lines from him over the course of the season.
And I should say, like, I was watching this game, like, in the first half, Brandon Knight was playing miserably. Like, he barely took any shots. So, like, really? Like, when I look at the box score now, while we were taping the show, he must have, you know, finished the second half and taken a lot of shots because he ended up 7-of-18 from the floor. In the first half, he didn't take many shots, so at least he stepped it up in the second half.
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to what he can do by himself. I think he's going to really kind of – his value is going to increase, actually. I've been trying to trade for him in most of my leagues, and no one wants to trade me. And I was trying to do that beforehand, and now with him completely running the offense, I really like his uptick on the value. The I guess the two guys that – well, Lure's been an intriguing fantasy standard value kind of guy. For him to only play 25 minutes tonight is a little disappointing, though it's not like he's replacing Eric Bledsoe. But looks like Tucker and TJ Warren had the best night lines of the night. I guess I'm just not super set on any of these guys as being the full-time replacement. And it doesn't sound like Phoenix is either because of the way the minutes kind of worked out tonight.
Yeah. I mean, like, sadly I'm with you, and I think it's going to, you know, it's going to depend on, you know, night to night and who's going to get the minutes. Like, I was, you know, somewhat happy that Booker ended up getting 29 minutes, which is if you get 20, you know, 29, 30 minutes, he should be fantasy relevant. But, you know, I think it's going to be tough, you know, right now to figure out for Phoenix who gets those minutes. Now, tonight was a little different because they played Cleveland, so they wanted P.J. Tucker to play a little bit more minutes because he was the one guarding LeBron. But, so tomorrow night, though, so if P.J. Tucker played like 15 minutes in their next game, though, I wouldn't be surprised one bit.
No, I wouldn't either. And I wouldn't be surprised if any of these guys suddenly played 22 minutes or 32 minutes tomorrow. Yeah. I think per minute wise, let me take a gander at the per minute. I don't see any of them completely suddenly breaking out. While, you know, TJ Warren, they're all pretty good, but none of them are like, suddenly I'm going to get 33 minutes and I'm a top 50 player.
Yeah.
I guess if I had to pick up one of those guys, I'd pick up TJ Warren.
So you'd pick up Warren over Booker, even though Booker's going to be the one starting?
Yes. I think Booker's uptick in minutes will obviously improve his value a lot. But other than scoring, Booker's not going to provide you with some of those intangible stats. It's not like he's going to suddenly have 7 assists a game or he's going to have 3 steals. He's not going to start blocking shots. He's a scorer. And you know what? Some people need scoring. And he's going to, since he has more opportunity to play, it's definitely worth watching him. And maybe if that's what you need, taking a flyer. But he's not providing the other fantasy stats I need to be worth picking up in a 9-cat league.
Yeah, and you know, like, I actually added Booker in 2 of my leagues. I'm gonna keep him and hold Pat another couple games and see what he does. But you know, like, after seeing how TJ Warren did tonight, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little worried. And if I could go back in time, you know, I may flip it on Warren instead. But, like, again, you know, as we've been saying, it's going to be very hard to trust any of these guys until if ever, Hornacek or whoever the coach is, get, you know,
yeah,
some type of consistent rotation.
Once he's fired, who knows what's going to be happening. Booker has potential for three-pointers and 3 points in scoring. But, like, who there's a lot of guys who can do that, I guess. And I think it's worth taking a look at him and watching him to see if maybe he breaks out. Maybe he is going to be sick because he's 19 years old. Maybe he will just be incredible, but he's also 19 years old. Yeah. That to adjust to the NBA at that age, being a rookie, takes a while.
Yep.
And so we'll see. And if he starts providing more intangible things, like steals and assists, then suddenly he's going to be fantasy relevant. It's always worth watching anyone at that age.
Yeah, I mean, I got a bunch of questions on Twitter saying it was basically, you know, Booker or Rodney Hood, you know, and if I had to choose between those two, I definitely think Rodney Hood is going to be the safer guy to own going forward. And, you know, and I actually think Rodney Hood has a little bit more upside as well. So I would take Rodney Hood over Booker.
Yeah, they do very similar things.
Right, yeah, they're similar.
But Rodney Hood's been doing it.
Yep. All right, man. So, very nice show. Our first show together. How do you feel? How do you feel it went? Do you feel it went okay?
Yeah, I think we didn't get through all the games, but that's because we like to wax on about all sorts of things.
That is true. And
I think it went real well.
And the one and only Mark Roberts, Mark is with a C as in Marc Gasol, or or Mark Anthony. I think Mark Anthony, the singer, also has a C.
I think so. He'll be back. Tomorrow?
But he actually just tweeted me too, and he's like, "Where's the link for the podcast?" So Mark is very.
He's a real slave driver, huh?
Oh, right. So, but that means Mark must be very excited to see how the two of us did tonight. So
something like that. He's always just beating us down with work.
It's like slave labor, man.
I know. You should hear him just berate us.
Yeah. He comes on the air and he's such this gentle giant.
He seems very nice.
Yeah, but like behind the scenes,
a tyrant,
like a dictator. Yeah, he really is a dictator.
Absolutely.
So
I can't wait for him to defend that tomorrow.
I know. He also just tweeted me about how Jeff Woody did tonight. Of course.
Yeah, so for some reason, very excited about Woody. Like I said, worth watching, I guess, if he's gonna play.
I'm still holding firm. Do not add Jeff Withey. Don't add him. As soon as Favors comes back, Withey is not relevant.
Yeah, I'm not adding him either.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Before we end the show, and this is what I ask everyone who's on the show with me. I need to know your favorite movie. Give it to me.
Oh, that's like the worst, hardest question.
All right, or you can do this. Last movie you saw in a theater or on demand on TV.
The last movie I just saw, I went and saw The Hateful Eight two nights ago.
How was that, dude? How was that?
Great, absolutely great. Went and saw it at the they did it in 70mm. It was actually film the way they showed it, which I don't know if you can really tell a difference, but you know, it was cool. It was awesome. It's 3 hours long. There's a real intermission where they turn the lights on and you can like get up. I'm a huge fan of intermissions now. Huh. There should be an intermission in all movies. I'm a huge fan.
Very intriguing. All right. So I definitely want to check that movie out.
Yeah. If you like Tarantino and you like the stuff he does, from beginning to end, there's not a part where you're not interested in what's going on. It's very well done, but it's Quentin Tarantino. Of course, it's going to be well done.
Very cool. Well, I will make sure to check that one out. All right, Mike, why don't you tell the lovely listeners where they can find you?
Sure, you can find me at Watch the Boxes, one word, on Twitter. Tweet at me, follow me. I'm usually retweeting other people who are more interesting and insightful than me. But also, you can read my stuff on watchtheboxes.com.
Fantastic. And you guys can find me on Twitter at Daniel A. Green 1. Green is like the color. And you can also go check out my website, which is DFS related. If you want to take a little break from season long and win some money at DFS, it's dgcourtroomdfs.com. And there you go. Mike, thanks for a good show.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed it. And again, Mark, the dictator, Mark, we'll be back tomorrow.
I don't know if I'll be back by the New Year. So happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'll be back either. So happy New Year to you guys, and be well.